Traveling a long time, O Lord. Not just us, somebody said we. We mean the saints, O Father. Not just from the time that our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected and gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but from the day, Lord, when you called Abraham and you started to have this building, O Lord, inside being built up, and Abraham was called to come out of his homeland to a land that will belong to him, that you have given him. And in that land, Lord, where you started, O Father, to cause him to see these visions of that great holy city, New Jerusalem, where the foundation stone had been laid even before the foundation of the world. And he caught that glimpse, Father, the visions of the great holy city in New Jerusalem. And now, Father, that building is, that city is coming to be completed. It won't be long. And we know, Father, in our journey here in this life, the saints of old passed away and they were waiting for us. And we know, Lord, they will not be made perfect without us. And we are on this end journey now, and we can see the light of home. And someone's waiting for us at the door. And we can see a table laid in that house, thousands of miles long, and where the saints will soon gather together and feast with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you this day. It's another year soon pass. Another 6 more days, Lord, is 2016 will pass away. But we are thankful, Lord, for all that which you have done for us, keeping watch over us, Lord, and guiding us in the way, in our ups and our downs. You have always been there, Lord, caring for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have a great, big, wonderful God. Thank you, Father. Even today now, Lord, as we are gathered here, we want to remember those brothers and sisters, Lord, that have gone away, whatever is their heart and whatsoever troubling. We are thankful, O Lord, that your word will sustain every one of us. and we commit them to you too, Lord. We ask for your blessing now, Lord, as you approach that word in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Not 2000, 1988. That's how many years ago? 28 years ago, right? 28 years ago, and I think Elsa is still not around. Were you around already? You're not around. Brother Enoch, are you still, were you around? You're not around. 1988, when this message that I'm going to preach today was preached back then. And you know, when I listened to the tape, the brother was leading the song and he was praying. You know, there's a lot of things that was going on that day. And then a prophecy came forth. It was praying about agape love. It was praying for, you know, there's the manifestation in the brotherly kindness in the life of the church. That was before the service starts. And I was going to preach this same message. And after that, when you're praying and you was crying, and the prophecy came forth. And truly what the Lord says is, you know, we need agape love. He's going to pour agape love upon us. But if our brotherly kindness is not, you know, manifest, we're not going to receive agape love and be kept. And many people will be falling off. Because without agape love, you cannot enter in. That's what Brother Abraham himself said. You see, that's what Jesus Christ, when he asked Peter, do you love me? I mean, he's asking, do you agape me? Peter said, you know, Lord, I filio di. No, Jesus was not talking about filio, he was asking about di agape me. That's the highest extent of love. Can we reach up to that extent of agape? Jesus is emphasizing that unique love of God. And you cannot begin to have agape love if filio love, which is just below it, is not really given out or manifest in your life. Well, the brother is no longer with us. One of the problems is, you know what, when I, following that prayer and that prophecy, I preach on this message. And it is entitled, Know Thyself. Let's go to the book of Matthew 16. We are living in the world now. You know, 6 days more and we come to the end of 2016. And the president-elect, Donald Trump, says, wait until January the 20th. Because January 19th is, he will be sworn in. I think he said 20th. 19th should be the day he's sworn in, if I'm not mistaken. So wait until January 20th. And say the whole world will change. Because he's going to take control. But behind his president, behind his government, don't forget who's behind. There's a lot of things that is going on now. Even in China, and the Pope is gone. The Pope there in the Vatican City say we're going to talk with Chinese and, you know, and set a good relationship with them. So a lot of things is moving, and it's moving very fast. And on the internet, I believe you go to YouTube, and a whole lot of video being put out there by different Christian organization, churches,
even believer, individual, they all expect, they are expecting the return of Jesus Christ next year. You know, there's great expectancy. And of course, you know, one brother from Brother Kishborn sent me a video about this Pentecostal preacher. He was talking about, you know, the dating and so on and so forth. But one thing he's talking about, he was telling the people, you know, we should pray for revival. And there have been revival here and there and all these things. And of course, practically to revival to a Pentecostal is when you speak in tongue. And when you do speak in tongue, that means you have the Holy Ghost baptism. Now that's a revival. But the revival that God is going to give is going to give for the bride, because that's the true church. And when you are an organization, how are you going to get revived when you are already so deep in darkness? Now, I know Christmas season is here, and I'm getting all this what video and greetings about, you know, Christmas thing. And then some send me video says that, you know, Christmas is not about Santa Claus, and it is about Jesus Christ. And I saw this one video last few weeks ago about this preacher who went out to the mall in America. And the parents and the kids were queuing up to, you know, sit on the lap of Santa Claus. And the kids were telling Santa Claus what he wants, right? You know, all these things. And this preacher, selfie himself, and all, so what he's going to do. And he went to the mall and he just walked around with all the kids and parents. And, oh, you know, I want you all to know that Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus Christ. And then came on, you know, preaching that. And of course, some of the parents, you know, father, the children, tell him, please move away. You have your religion to yourself. Let me tell you something. Christmas is not about Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. I told those people who sent me WhatsApp. I told you to know better. Christmas is not about Jesus Christ. Christmas is about Satan's cross. Satan's cross. Not Santa Claus. Satan's cross. And the Christmas tree. And the gift under the tree. The turkey. The mistletoe. And whatever you have. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ whatsoever, and the whole world has been fooled. And in Japan today, what is Christmas? It is KFC. You all know that? You heard about it? They're just celebrating them because, well, they have nothing better to do. They want it's a festival. So what is Christmas to them? Is, huh? And even they have a Christmas tree at home, and they just have KFC. They don't know anything about what Christmas is all about. Of course, to the Christian world, it's about Jesus Christ's birth. It is nonsense. It's not true. And the whole Christmas season, I told a brother, it's not jolly. Who is jolly? What is jolly? It's all about the jolly fat man who calls Santa Claus. But if you look at today, at this season of time, do you know how much evil is going on? You think about it. I told him, search and check and see. Every time there is a season like this, there is evil at work. Yes. It's all about money. It's corruption. It's about getting people away from understanding to see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The true light. You know? And when you have a Christmas tree with all the bulb and all the light, that's the light. That's not the light of the world. That's the light of darkness. Now here we are, 2016. Well, we're supposed to have 6,000 years of history of the world before Christ come and rule the world for 1,000 years. Is that right? Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. Abraham to Christ, 2,000 years. Christ to his coming, 2,000 years. But this is 2017 already. Well, there have been, this brother sent me that the video about the Pentecostal preacher was saying,
But it has been on the internet. It has been on all these years that I have studied. Do you know what is the year of the calendar in the Jewish calendar? 5, 7, 7, 7. How come it's 5, 7, 7, 7? There are 200 and how many years short? 223 years short. Is that right? Of 6 months. And it has been, some rabbi, they consult the rabbi or consult some historian. He said, because, he said, God stopped time when the children of Israel reject the truth. See? So to go back to how many years in history in the Old Testament they reject and God stopped time, you know. Then when God sent down the prophet again, time starts again, it starts counting. That's so ridiculous. So, you know how, what is the base on that understanding? The base is on Daniel chapter 9. Are you aware of that? Because God stopped time 483 years. And they have another 7 years to go, right? And between we have the church age. Yeah. That is when God stopped time. Because Paul and Brandon, his part is happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles can come in. It's fulfilled. But these are the 70th week of Daniel that are determined upon your people and the city. And when did it start? It started from the day the Sinai gave the decree. It didn't have anything to do with the calendar of how come you arrive at 5, 7, 7, 7, and then they say that if you calculate there's supposed about 200 something years missing and you find it because God stopped time in history. But let me tell you something. When they rejected Jesus Christ, if God stopped time until now, 2,000 years, what happened? Did God really stop time? No. Time continued. But it is said that our calendar was based on the Egyptian calendar, and the Egyptian calendar, even according to what Brother Abraham said way back then, in his own study, he said that our calendar, the based on Egyptian calendar, is 17 years ahead. That means next year is 2000. And you know, calendar is not an easy thing to fix. Because it transformed from Babylon to Egyptian to Assyrian to Romans to Greek. Don't know what it changed. And you know what I mean? Yes. You got all this make up. You know why God don't want people to really know the day and the hour? Christ said, you know the season. Right? What's in the air? You see the fruit leaves. You know, somewhere it's night. We know the period, we know the season that we are in. Now telling the brother, I said to the brother, he said, in next year, if you know the time and the day that Jesus is coming, let's say it is that he's going to come October the 5th, 2017. What are you going to do? Of course, you will just, maybe a few days before they say, I'll get ready, go and fast and pray, wait at home and sit, wait for the coming of the Lord. Yeah. Your journey. Remember last Sunday? Now. We're talking about the period right now. So, know thyself. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Of course you all know this fact. And we know what the Bible said about what Jesus said to Peter. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed to you. Not because you are a Jew. I don't know which tribe Peter come from, where he came from. Not because he was a Benjamite, or whether he was from a Judah tribe. No. Just because you are the seed of Abraham doesn't mean that you know who I am.
But he said, my Father in heaven give it to you. And upon this revelation now, I'll build my church. Matthew 26 now. That Peter's confession. Matthew 26, 31 to 35. Then Jesus said unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And after I risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I would never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet would I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You're familiar with this, don't you? We are so sure, Peter. I mean, he was a big guy. I mean, he's always the one who makes the most noise. The rest just wait and see. And then later on, they would just say, yeah, we agree. Yeah, we will not deny you. But Peter was so vehemently said that I will not deny you. He was so cocksure. You know what I'm saying? So very, 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 very sure. Fighting cock. You know how the fighting cock? They're so sure that they're going to win. And one of them died, of course. And Peter was so sure of himself. Know thyself. Do you know also? You know, we have been on this journey. I mean, I have been doing this ministry since I left. Since even when I was in the assembly. When the Lord dealt with me how to deal with the human soul. How to go out soul winning. To spend time to pray. Read the study in the Bible and so on. When I came to the message, I laughed. And then when I start traveling, I've seen all sorts of things that's going on. What's going on in Singapore, the churches. Not those in denomination, anyway. But the strange thing is, when I left the Assemblies of God, my name was scattered out through all, even other churches. That has not even related to Assemblies of God. They even know. That I said, oh, this guy has gone. He's in a cult, into Branham, and all these things. But oversee and all, see what was going on. And through all these years, since that's 71 until now. 40 odd years. I have seen believers, they are so sure, but then they are no longer around. They've fallen away, somewhere into false teaching, false belief. Some are so frustrated they love to go into denomination or just do nothing, no more. The prophet said, I have enough. You know, one of the most important things we need to know ourselves. Know thyself. Mark 14:31. I want you to see how Mark described it. Mark 14:31. But he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I would not deny thee in any wise. You see the word vehemently? Yeah. So sure, yes, I would not deny you. Now, that's one good thing right here, as I said many times. I don't know how true that it was about this testimony, or whether it was just an illustration or not, but it appears to be true that there were Christians who were, you know, in some country you're not allowed to gather, and people are looking to kill Christians. And there have been Christians, even in China especially. And you know, in China, back in the days of after Mao Zedong, they're still under communists. The Christians, they're all underground. That is to say, they worship underground. That's happened to be true because I know it. I've all those information in the early days when I was in the Assemblies of God. I've read a lot, and there were pictures and articles reported. In the village especially. You know how they worship? On a particular day, they don't worship just on Sunday, no. They choose a certain particular day because if you worship on Sunday regular, people know. They choose any day, any time. They will just fix a time on a certain day and a certain place.
And the people will go. One,
they said they were going to worship in the afternoon at 3 o'clock.
One will go there in the morning at 10 o'clock. Just one going.
You know, they're visiting a friend. And stay there for the rest until 2 p.m.
Then another one will come.
You know, so that you will not draw attention as this boy, you're seeing people start going in. You understand what I'm saying?
So when God will get in, they may have maybe about 10 people or 12 people or so.
Not many.
And then when they sing, "Oh Lord my God." They open their mouth, but no sound comes up because they cannot sing in a voice, in a way that people can hear, neighbor could hear. You understand? So they sing without opening their, without voicing the word. They just open their mouth, just sing it. That's what happened. And if they were caught, and they were asked, they would just say, "Are you all Christian?" If you say no, that means you are lying. And everyone ever agreed, they said, "Yes, we are Christians." And they all be arrested. So, know yourself. Are you sure that you will not deny Christ? Peter was so sure. Many of the Christians, even in Mesopotamia, were so sure. Not because they deny Christ, but they deny the word. They don't know about themselves. That's where you need to know. I'm not speaking about anyone or against anyone, about anyone. Because you see, the word is for us. The Bible is all written here. God put it there. It's not written about the bad character of David. He's not trying to expose Peter's, foolishness. You know what I mean? It is for our admonition. That's why speaking the truth in love is so hard for many people. People get hurt because when you speak the truth, they don't like it. You know. So, it's all for us. Alright, so let us not get to be like Peter, puffed up, overestimate our strength. If we can do it, we can go through with it. But don't, you see, people always estimate the strength, and then they also underestimate their weakness. We need to know our weakness. Do you know Brother Abraham's weakness? Do you know his weakness? You know the three things, the three problems in human life? Huh? The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye. So it literally is money, woman, and popularity. Probably say, I have no problem with woman. About popularity, but he said what I'm always hawk eyeing is about the money. He said, the day that Eve, my ministry goes down, and people, you know, like in those days of his ministry, there were other ministers, all start begging for money, you know what I mean? Trying to pull the crowd in by, you know, begging for money literally. Give! But man never do that. He said, there's no money for me to do it, you see? I'll just stop it. You know. But that's what we see going on. So what's your weakness? The prayer of life. Huffing and puffing that you're on somebody that you know what they're so sure. Is it a problem of the lust of the eye? Is it? Or is it the lust of the flesh that you have? You know. So we need to know ourselves. Today, as I said last Sunday, we talk about today, this present time now. Next year is coming, 2017. A lot of people are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to Brother Tony Rohana, the earthquake is going to start in LA, just outside of LA, in the Southern Sea, on the 26th of May. if it started in a series of quake. And at the same time, you know, war starts and Ezekiel 38, 39 builds up. What then? Are we all ready to be able to hear the final trump? And I said this very comfortably. People say, Brother Dan, you're standing on thin ice, believe that there are going to be seven men. They will give you the final revelation. I said, isn't that what Brother Branham said? We need to hear those voices to give us rapturing faith. Everybody, Christians are believing that Christ is coming. Oh, they are so excited. But how is Christ going to come for you? When you are not even prepared. That's why there is a way of preparation. Prepare you the way of the Lord. When God sent John the Baptist, there must be a preparation time. You see? Even God has to prepare Mary to receive Jesus Christ. Prepare Joseph to accept the fact that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. Because he wanted to divorce her or put her away. Huh? God had to prepare for the day that Jesus would die on the Passover. Unusual. If God prepared all of this, what about you? I don't know how long God spent in eternity preparing this whole universe to be created. And you don't rush it away, right? God planned all this. Yes. Now, you know when we talk about, I'm so sure, I'm this and that. No, I will not deny Christ. I'm this, I believe in this message, and so on and so on. Yeah, we know that we believe. But remember to know yourself. We cannot cross the bridge until we come to the bridge. A lot of time we think, thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do, that's what I'm going to do. And even sometimes, you know, you're preparing for this message of mine. As I said to you, after Sunday I go back and Monday start, I will be thinking about preparing the message. I'm just praying, what am I going to preach? And I'm praying that the Lord will show me something. That's how things work. And even where I want to go, if God doesn't want me to go, I won't be able to go. I remember the first time when I traveled to America to Brother Jackson's convention. That year, before that, the church went through some problem. I was quite disturbed and I was down and out. So when I was there for the convention, and I don't know what day, on the fourth day, I think Brother Jackson called me up the last minute and asked me, Brother Dan, you ready to preach? You know, I said, no. I went out actually with a brother and sister because they wanted to buy some gift for Zoe, who was born in that year, 79. And I should have declined to preach because I thought I was okay. But I went to the pulpit. I couldn't deliver the message, actually. I preached only for about 20 minutes. You know. So, I realized when we are down, we are in a state that we are not ready. We're not prepared. We are disturbed. We should not go forward. You know. So, that was the... Anyway, God always put me on a trial to teach me something. Even the first time when I was in the Woodbridge Hospital, the first ward that I was thrown into, I was shocked. Because the ward that I went in, they put me in, was a mental defective ward. Lot of children all born, you know, mentally defective. And then you have old men lying on the bed. We call that GPI, general paralysis of the insane. Because these people, they go fornicating with harlots so much so they get venereal disease. And one of the venereal disease happened to be a bacteria that is a corkscrew. It gets in and it goes right into the spine, eat up the spinal cord, and goes to the brain, and then it's paralyzed. And they will just defecate because they've got no control. There are several of them in the ward, and the young one, all the children, all have no control. It was so filthy, I was so shy. I said, what, this mental hospital is like that? And I expected that the other ones would be something like that. But lo and behold, it was the 30th, I didn't know it. The worst ward, and I didn't even understand. God put me always, the first time to test me would be the time of awakening. The door when I went to the other ward, it was not like that. The first time when I left home to go to India, I didn't know anything about India. Because don't say you don't have time to search about, you know, do research that you have on a computer. It took me into the interior after I landed in Mumbai. Into a place that was so hot, 40 and above degrees Celsius, and so dry, until the following day, wake up with cracked lips and cracked, you know, dryness in the nose until it bleeds. I says, oh my. Every time, the first time, God put me into something new, He wake me up. And I realize I'm thankful that God put me in this. But some people say, well, okay, let me have a sailing smoothly and then go to rough water. Throw you into rough water and you will realize and wake up. Then you say, don't put confidence in yourself when the tough time comes and you know. So throw you into the tough time and experience it. You see? So, we need to know about our vulnerable spot. First Samuel chapter 17. And I believe you all know the story. We don't have to read it, but it's in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Great story. But of course, when I was in a denomination, the first time I went to church when I was a little boy, Sunday school over in the Baptist church, and we sing the song, David was a little boy, and how did the song go, I can't remember, he took five little pebbles or something, and sing around and around and around, you know, and a giant came tumbling down, things like that. So we turned out, I was thinking, oh, David was a little boy. You know, his salvation was a little boy, but he wasn't a little boy. He was around 20, 22 years old. Actually, you go and calculate it and look at the date. Do a little real research. He was not a little boy. Huh? He's around 20 years old. So, you know, so I was thinking then that, look at David. I mean, he was, you know, his father didn't want him to be a soldier. Go and look up the ship. But when you hear all this journey of the Philistine against God and the people of Israel, he couldn't take it. So he went over there, you know, said, let me fight. So they put him on him this armor. Of course, if he's a little boy, how can he put a man's armor? He must be an adult. So they put on, but it's too heavy for him to move. You know, this armor to protect you is just like a thin man, you know. So he doesn't, he said, I come in the name of the Lord. And so he does. And what was the weak point? Goliath was well armed. He's covered from head down all to the foot. Except for one place. His forehead was exposed. The vulnerable spot, right here. And this is the place where not just people in the world. It's a religious people who are supposed to know the Word of God, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, even the church today. What did they do? They crucified Christ in the skull. Right here. Satan will always go to stir trouble against God's Word by getting so-called intellectual man. There's no God, and you know, it is. There's no
know God and things like that. If you know Brother Andrew Peary wrote a book, if there is a God, can you prove it, that there is a God? He said yes, and he proved it, that there is a God. It's a little book, it's on Amazon. In such a single way, how science, atheists have explained that there is no God, and by the theory of what they say about this, their brother Andrew Peary took the whole thing and put it back together and said, that there is God, and you're seeing it. It's here. Stephen Hawking, Richard Dawson, all these people who don't believe in God, all these cities, they are trying to prove God, no God, by what? By their intellect, right here in the skull. And the religious people know what? They crucify Christ in the skull, inside here. And Goliath tried to kill God and God's people here. He said, I don't need to protect here. And it's a weaker spot. So with all his big armor, his shield, his big sword, I don't know how many kilos his big sword, I mean, maybe he's 9 feet tall, I'm not sure how high. Huh? And did he just get one stone in his sling? He got four others in his hand, but one stone in his sling, and he just aimed. You know, you ever try to slingshot something? I mean, not just a catapult. I'm talking about a slingshot. It's a very unique thing. Yeah? You need to know how to use it. And David was so good at it because he was watching over his father's sheep. Now every time a wolf come or a bear come, he just hit it. But he will probably kill them, but we just chase them away. He didn't scare them, or hit them on the body, and just don't go. But he hit on the skull just one, and a Goliath came tumbling down. That is the vulnerable spot. So what is a vulnerable spot? Huh? The problem is that we all tend, as far as vulnerable spot is concerned, we tend to go back to the same thing that we do again. What is a vulnerable spot? What is a weak spot? What is a weakness in life? Woman? Popularity? Money? Huh? What happened to the recent accident in Tuas, AYE? It's sad, isn't it? He was saying that the man was depressed because he was saying that the money, the missiles was failing. Come on! It is always you find the end of the year in the newspaper report about this company, that company. Oh, in our last quarter we are not making so much money as the year before. What are you comparing? 2015, how much did you earn? $100 million. So this year, we only have 90. So 90% less, you say we are not earning as much. So next year you want to what? To beat what? To beat the 100 million. So if you do have 100 million, it's 100 million, you've got 100 million, 120 million. So the following year again, you drop down to 110. You say, we still don't make as much money. So what is this issue about money? People always go back to what? They wanted this, wanted that. So what is your weakness? Is your weakness anger? Everybody you show your anger. What is your weakness? And that is the sport. We always tend to go back to the same thing. So we need to Hawkeye our weak spot. Brother Bam did it. But in those days in the 50s, in America you have such a great revival because of the Pentecostal movement. God wanted, send the Holy Ghost baptism, people have gifts going out there, and the gospel went out. But there are a lot of preachers. And many of them are really good. But many of these preachers, One of them I know so well. I love his magazine. I used to get his magazine called Miracle Valley. A.A.L. It's so sad. A lot of people don't realize what happened when he was not in the meeting. When he was by himself in the home.
away from the public eye. He was actually drinking. Many of the preachers in those days, many of them were saved from the gutter of alcoholism. I know a few others. And then when they have the minister go up high, they were stressed out. Because why? They compete. And you know about it, it's so true, you read about it. They are competing to try to have the biggest tent. And the biggest tent in those days was owned by the man called Jack Cole. It was the biggest tent that he had. And everybody is competing for crowd to come. And you know when you compete, you stress out. You know, you get all this pulling the people and all. You know what happened in the end? Many of these preachers start drinking in the office, in their home. And then few of them died. And publicly people know about it. Many of them were arrested by cops, traffic cops, for drunk driving or drink driving. So this is become the issue. So it's the weak spot that we need to look at ourselves. What is our weak spot? Computer game. Spending so much time WhatsApp, chatting away, nothing else. You know, all this Twitter and all this Facebook? It's been a whole lot. Oh my. Judges, chapter 13. You know the story of Samson now. So 13 onwards. I know you know the story, but I'm just telling you the chapter, but we're not going to read all that. You know who was Samson? Well, he was a man, bald, a woman, who godly woman, who dedicated him to God. And so he took the Nazarite vow, so to speak, and then did not cut his hair. That's a Nazarite boy. And God used him to beat back the enemies. But one thing about problem with Samson is this. He loved games. He loved to play riddles. You know, play riddles. The whole lot of riddles he gave. I know some of you, I don't know whether you like riddles or not, but Samson really, he loved riddles. Another problem he had is that he loved women. Oh yeah. You didn't know this game, this riddle thing, the children are playing here in Singapore. You know, they sort of close their eyes, blindfold, and they said, supposed to find an item or something. Hot, 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 hot! It means you are near it, right? Cold, cold, cold means you're too far away from it. So hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. I mean, for kids, it's interesting. Samson enjoyed that. And what happened to Samson? Every time the Philistine tried to find out the secret about his strength, he lied to them. He played a trick on them. Right? So finally he used a woman, Delilah. And even he told Delilah this story and that story, it's not true. The Philistine has come upon you and he wake up still with the strength because his hair was not cut. That one time, two times, three times, and finally Delilah said, you have been deceiving me. And you say you love me! And so on and so on, he's flirting around. And then, you know what? Delilah said, come, Samson. Come lay down upon my knee. That's where the problem starts. You know that's the meaning of knees, right? You know what the knees symbolize? Knee is a place of sexual love. Why the knees? Our knees. That's why women need to cover their knees. You open the knees. What does it mean? We are all born between the knee. What does it mean? A child is raised up between the knee. What does it mean? Samsa would not have failed. But he was seduced so badly. The knees of Delilah must be pretty interesting. Very sexual. Very enticing. And that one moment, he gave his secret of his strength. Huh? You see, the man grows soft. When you flirt with a woman, seduced by a woman, you grow soft. Let me tell you something here. Sometime early this month, when I went home, my bag always I carried some book with me. I came out of the train station trying to get my lunch. There was a young girl. I think she's probably around 17 years old, 16 years old. Approached me trying to do some interview, you know. Which of course is, I said, doesn't involve me. And I said, I'm retired, so this is not for me. He said, snuggle up to me. And the uncle, you know, this is not that. So I talked to her a little bit. And he asked me, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a preacher. Oh, you're a preacher. That is snuggle a little bit too close. You know, this is why a lot of old men like me, if they are looking for honey, money, whatever they call it, you know what that is, right? Young girl looking for old folks to get them, give them money, and provide some sexual love. You know? So I said, I'm going to give you this book, and it calls Time and Science, right? You read about it. So I said, I have to go. I told you when the last time, even when I first time went over to a state, when we were in Hawaii, Waikiki, but those days were so bad. But now it's clean up, I was told. Those were healthy. I went out and you got all these hustlers. Young, pretty young, 18 plus here, because that's when they can do it. Come out in. You need a date? You want a date? Yeah. And I turned around and I said, no, I don't need it. Oh, come on, you don't have $20? I said, yeah, I have it, but I'm not giving away. We were there for a few nights. They are hustling. So what is a weak spot? When the time to say no, and the time to say yes, Samson could not say no. I guess that Delilah must have exposed a need for her, for him. That's why he enticed him. Come lie down on my knees. Oh, that's really terrible. Judges 16:20. And Delilah said, the Philistine be upon thee, Samson. And he walked out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other time before and shake himself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistine took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass and he did grind in a prison house. Well, this when he was seduced and he told Delilah where his strength was and went to sleep and then Delilah cut his hair. And each time whenever he was trying to trick Delilah, Delilah would get Philistine to come and said, the Philistines are here! He would jump up because of his strength, his hand not cut. He would beat them all. But this time, he didn't realize his hand was cut. He got up and he didn't realize that God was no longer with him. He wished not. He didn't realize that the Lord was not, has departed from him. The Lord had departed from him. Many people don't realize that even in this life, many Christians call it, they believe, they think that still God was with them. They don't realize God had departed from them. Look look at many of these evangelists, many of these preachers out there. Such a great ministry. By and by, they don't, you know, God left them. Left them. And they didn't know that God had left them. And they continued their own ministry. Continue. You know, I was just wondering how many Branhamite preachers are like that. They can stand in the pulpit, they can yell and they shout and they preach. But they didn't know that God had left them. Why? Because God is always in His Word, in His own law, in His own commandment. If you leave that, God will leave you. See? So that's so sad about Samson. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, dying, what do you think was going on through Jesus' mind? What do you think was going on through Jesus? What do you think might be going on through his mind? He was out hanging on the cross for 6 hours, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Out there suffering. What would you think possibly that could happen to go in his mind going through? There's a whole lot of things that he is going through his mind, obviously. Because he's human. Because already before he went to Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, he was already, you know, so stressed out that he had to pray, told the disciple to pray with him. And he prays, the Father, if it's possible, remove this cup. Wow. See? We're all born to live, but Jesus Christ was born to die. You know what, don't you? You understand what I'm saying? When he was born and he grew up as a young boy and he studied the scripture and all that, he knew that he was born to serve and do that work and pay his life as an atonement, and he's going to die. Not as an old man, but in the prime of life at 33 years old. So what do you think going on through his mind? Went through his mind, you know, hanging up in the cross there. A whole lot of things going on. Because, you know, I believe this is actually what would take place if every one of us know that we are dying. There will be a lot of things going through our mind. The thing that we can have done, the thing that we should not have done, and things like that. You know, we reflect a lot of these things. It is said that when you're about to die, you know, there's the whole life's history hops through your mind. See? Oh my. Alright. How do we know ourselves? Know thyself. And I said this time many times that to know ourselves, sometimes it's very difficult for us to know everything about ourselves. It takes people to tell us about us. Huh? Peter was so sure. And Jesus just told him, he said, you will deny me before the cock crow. You will deny me 3 times. Christ know, Christ told him, he said, no. Even I have to die with you, I will die, I still will not deny you. So when somebody come up and tell you about your fault, your character, your behavior, what would you do? You won't believe that, won't you? Because you don't believe that you are. Because humankind are like this. Because our eyes is fixed in our head here, looking out. We cannot put our eye outside and look in. And I told many people like this many times. It's very hard. Raising up children, people are looking. You cannot look at yourself. Can't. You know. Because I've been told many times, they are my children, I know better, they say. Of course, they are children, you should know better, but it doesn't mean that you know them. As other people can see from outside that we know. That's true, you know. Yeah. So when people talk about our behavior, our fault and all these things, I think we need to do is to listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yeah, though we are in this body, our warfare is not about this body. It's something else. Huh? And that's why Paul is trying to make us clear. We are fighting a warfare because, you see, as Brian put it this way, Satan goes for your head. Right? God goes for your heart. And that's not why we are troubled by everything that comes into this head here. Because we're all feeding on the five senses. And five senses receive all the information it gets into here. But it's not about the flesh. It's about life itself. Huh? So here we imagine a lot of things. That's what Paul said, casting down. We need to have this is a spiritual warfare. We need to bring down all this imagination and everything that exalts itself. Do you know that whenever you're free, when you sit down and nothing better to do, you start imagining? Don't you think so? Yeah. Yeah. Even when I sit in the train, and yeah, you can see passenger is ugly behavior and all these things. My mind starts to think, I said, my goodness, if I have power, I'll shut the guy's mouth or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Or you drive someone driving. I said, what kind of drivers that have power to do something, Anyway, your mind will never stop imagining. You're always thinking. Right. But if anything comes among that lift your soul up, you better think twice. How many of you, I don't know about sisters, but I think brothers. How many of you ever think that, you have some kind of a power like a kung fu, souling, and when some big guy trying to bully somebody else, and you feel like going up there to get the guy and throw him out? Huh? Trying to do some justice. Yeah. I was just talking to Zara in the car today. About this accident. And I just can't understand the law. In a recent case about just 2 days ago, I think it was in the paper, a taxi driver with a passenger in the car turning right. I do not know what was it, Serangoon North or Ang Mo Kio North or whatever. He wanted to turn right, but the pedestrian had the right of way because it's a green man. He just went and knocked down a lady and killed her. And the sentence was only 3 years. And banned from driving from, I don't know for how many years, I can't remember, 5 or 3. It's that it. I was just wondering, you kill a lion. And he's a 52-year-old man. Taxi driver. You know that this is a criminal, he has the right, and he just go and not the man, woman. So I was just thinking, you just have 3 years for the life. What about the man who went depressed and driving the opposite direction and killed a young man, I think he's 38 or something, hit a motorcyclist in a parallel and flung him into the air. You can see that on a video. And damage all that. Wow. And I don't know what he's going to get. Drink driving. You should not drive when you drink. And people do that and they kill somebody on the road. What happened? How many years does it get? 5 years? That's it. You know, if I'm the lawgiver, anytime I caught anybody who drink driving, I put him in jail for 1 year. And wake him up. Now, and license, no driving. And when he come out of the jail, no driving for 5 years or something like that. Make it strong, get a message across to the people. But you know, one thing about it, sometimes the law says we try to educate the people. You know, educate the people. You can go and look, you know, Singapore is a clean city. Now, yes. But see, many places, there's still a lot of people who are smoking. Throw the cigarette butts just about anywhere. Huh? Look at a cup, drink cup, bottles, any bottle in the bus, in a bus stop, or somewhere along the road, they just put there. You want to send a signal across, get them up, I put them in the newspaper. Now all the molesters and all the rapists, all they put in a paper, put these people in a newspaper. So the believe that will work. You know what? I believe that when the millennium comes, when Christ is in control, I can tell you one thing. He's not going to rule the world with what we call a rod of a sponge. He's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. The law is going to be fitting. Else nobody will worry about it. Drink driving. Okay, I can drive. It's okay, maybe I make it home. If I got knocked to somebody or whatever, well, it's just maybe sometime prison or pay this fine. Yeah. Or if I'm caught, okay, maybe some fine. But you know, the problem is that if you're not caught, you might kill somebody. Does that worry people? No, the guy don't think about it, don't care. He's taking chances. He's just playing the gun with the roulette. Playing roulette, bomb bullet. You know, he's doing everything just like whether he make it home or the bullet will go out and kill somebody. Nah. We need to know ourselves how we conduct our life. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Yep. Here is the temptation of Jesus Christ. Interesting here about the temptation of Jesus. Jesus Christ knew who he was. Right? Let me ask you a question right now. How many of you know that you are a Christian? That you are a believer of God? How many of you? Come on. You believe. You know that you are a believer of God. I mean, if you don't know that you are a believer of God, then you are, if you don't believe that you are a Christian, then I don't know why. Why would you come to church? We are wasting our time, is that? We've got to know who we are. There are a lot of people that are still Christian that are not even aware. Some are finding it hard to come to church even on Sunday. We don't even see some of them that are supposed to be here. They find it hard to come. King David said, I'm so glad when they sent me to ask for the house of the Lord. You know, and Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. The day when they sinned against the Lord, they were not at the place where they're supposed to wait for God. And they're supposed to wait for God, right? They were not there. See, God wants the people together and then He comes. It's not when He comes and people come. No. You all must understand, this is what we call dignitary. The people wait for them. The important men to come. See? Yes, I was sharing with a sister last week. Getting her along. Because she's new to this faith. About her character, about how we should dress, our presentation. See, she was agreeing with me that being that she came from Pentecostal, charismatic kind of background, yeah, I said, go to church and say, oh, how people dressed. You know, you see them. I came up this morning right here, and this man come to church with a tight shirt above the knee, tight shirt, wear a t-shirt. That's how you go to church. You see, that doesn't make any sense. Not that you are poor, you don't have anything. I have been told many times when I go to overseas, Africa, India, even to the Philippines, I told them, I told the congregation how you should dress. Even one local brother said, I don't agree with you, born again. Because if they are poor, I said, if they are poor, that's one thing. But I said, you are not poor. And you come to church wearing slippers. And I think that is a shame. Now we come to the house of God. We dress properly. I'm not asking people to dress like $1 million thing, you know, like Liberace. You know Liberace, don't you? No. Dress proper. You see. One of us, Africa, the brother came from in the village. You know what he wear? He only have a t-shirt and his broken t-shirt. And his trousers are broken. Because that's the only pants. And because every day I see him wear the same thing to church. But we have convention there for 5 days. The same one. That I understand. But country like the Philippines, you don't have it. Are the Philippines that poor? Are India that poor? Is Singapore that poor that you can't even dress properly to come to church? But you know one thing, Brother God, don't you know? God don't look at you. God look at your heart. Then you must not come to church wearing bikini or swimsuit. You know what I'm saying? Exaggerating maybe. Or wear a short. You see, the people doesn't make any sense about it. And you can even fellowship on the beach wearing bikini. You know how those Christians can get on the beach wearing swimsuit and worship God? There's a time for decency. But if you're in the bathroom and you're showering and you're naked, of course, you're worshiping the Lord, that's all right. Because that is not a worship of group. It's just yourself. But you know, when we come together to present ourselves, I think that's the most important way we should dress. Even the priest, God told Moses how the priest should dress because of representation. How does a priest dress? I'm not talking about a high priest, the priest. And you are supposed to be priests of God. A holy priesthood. Certainly. Know ourselves that we are a child of God. Know ourselves that we cannot take an indifferent attitude. You see, that God is just wanting to ask. See, God is molding our character. You all know that, don't you? He's molding our character. And that's how Peter was. Peter, even though he was denying Christ after that, he realized, yes, he repented. And yet, after that, he still played hypocrite. And God still had to shape him. Because Jesus loves him. And Jesus loves you, loves me. He wants to mold us. We make mistakes. Everyone do. When I said that somebody, you know, if he's preaching, he says, and he said, I'm the biggest of all sinners. Trying to cope Paul, you know. I have a lot of these preachers telling me that, Brother, I'm the cheapest of all sinners. I said, yeah, you're the cheapest. He's also the cheapest. Then who's the cheapest? Everybody wants to be the cheapest. You know, we all do sin. As Brother Abraham said, sinners do not sin. It's a Christian that sin, correct? You know that, don't you? Yeah, of course. You see. It's a fish swim. Right? Of course, it's natural the fish is swimming. It's because they are born there, so the fish don't swim. Who swim? We are the ones that swim. We don't have fin, but we swim. So we swim. Sinners don't sin. They sin because they are just normal and that's the way they behave. But Christians are not supposed to sin, but the Christians sin. Oh, I praise God that He loves us and He's still shaping us. He's not true with us. I'm telling you, He's not true with us. We need to come to the place. Alright, so Jesus thought about Himself when the devil came against Him and attacked Him. You know how He defended Himself? He didn't say, yeah, I'm the Son of God. I need proof to you now. No. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan started saying, you're the Son of God, right? You're the Son of God, right? Hey, that's what the people are doing over in America. Some of those churches are crazy. You know how they believe Mark 16:16 thing? about taking the serpent and all this. And there are some of these churches, yeah, there are rattlesnakes in the box. Yeah, I don't believe that. It's just unbelievable. They have it. And people, all the congregation, are told to come out and take the snake to prove that they have been living a holy life. Huh? So the snake bite them and they did not die. It means to say that that brother, though he has sinned, he has confessed his sin, he didn't die. But if he was bitten by the snakes and the venomous rattlesnake, he died. So this brother has sinned. He's never lived a holy life. He never confessed his sin. And all that stuff that they have. You prove God, you try to tempt God by taking a rattlesnake. Huh. And even, I can't remember the name of that person. They try to investigate, well, how come that this Christian can go take the rattlesnake? And they say, don't beat them. Oh, it's just like an Indian snake charmer. Move. You know, snake are used by remote. They go down, you know, speaking tongue, take the snake. Of course, the snake also do the same. You know, they don't get bitten. But I was thinking, why not take some poison and see what happens? Arsenic. And see whether they die instantly or not. You know, this is telling the Lord. But these people are doing all kinds of things. And you know how that there are many preachers in America, evangelists in the crusade, you know, all this time, meaning how did they use tricks? Huh? Yes. Putting all this microphone in here and get feedback and try to impersonate blah, 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 and truly perform. You see? Oh my. That's the way people are doing things these days. Alright, so Jesus knew who he was not playing games like Samson. He always caught the word, and that's one thing about it. It is written. Satan wanted him to worship him. Want Christ to worship him. But he said, it is written. You cannot. You must only worship God. And he's the only one that you worship. That's what we all do. Nothing else. Alright? The other thing here is, one point here I want to make is, Samson had this power, the strength that God had given him. But the problem with Samson is that he misused this power, or misused this gift. See? Every gift that God gives to you must be used. You don't put the gifts on the shelf. But don't misuse this gift. Jesus had the gift of life. He was anointed. He was filled with the Spirit. And yet when Satan tempted him, he never misused it. Samson, on the other hand, no. He wasn't like Christ. He misused the gift to play with games and riddles with those people. To try to, because they want to discover his strength. Instead of telling them off, you will never know my strength. What he likes. No, he's just flitting around, playing games. So let us not prove ourselves. To try to prove ourselves that we are like this, we are the sons of God. Say, yes, we are believers of God. So don't prove that it's a sin. When you misuse it, it is a sin. Do we have to advertise ourselves that we are Christians? Do we? No, we don't have to. We don't have to go out telling the world, hey, look, I'm a Christian. Or the sister go out there and says, look, I'm a Christian because of long hair. You know, I remember Zoe when he was in secondary school. Teacher was asking her, why do you have long hair? And she just said, well, I'm a Christian. And we're Christian, we're supposed to have long hair. The teacher said, no, I'm a Christian too, I don't have long hair. No, that's not true that you should have long hair. And so he said, yeah, we should have long hair. But women should keep long hair, that's what the Bible said. And she came back and then a few days later and told Zoe, oh, now I understand this verse. Jesus said that women in those days must have long hair because the prostitute have short hair. Really? In those days, prostitutes have short hair, women therefore must keep long hair. I don't know how the think arrived at that. You see how crazy it is? But you know one thing about this. Throughout these years, this long hair has been an issue thing. So much so that in the past there was this sister who came to church one time. And she had very long hair. She's an elderly sister. You know, and hair is already white, with streaks of white, it's not pure white. And she let her hair down, not even tied up, let it all flow around the back. All. And you know how unkempt that is? And I ask, why do you have that? Oh, it's a revelation! Because the hair is given for the covering! So we must cover her. Oh my. What kind of revelation is that? What kind of revelation is that? You want to have long hair like this and you walk around out there in the world and see how people look at you. The Bible says you must have long hair. The system has allowed keep your long hair. But the Bible never said that you must let the hair come down all the way and not bun it up or tie it up. No, the Bible didn't tell you that. Because God wants you to be a woman and you should have long hair. Men shall have short hair because God says that you are a man. The world can go and discuss and argue over that thing. See? Because God is warning our character. God is warning you to whether you want to conform to the world. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word. It's as simple as that. But you find very hard. Because why? It's about this flesh. And as Paul said earlier, though we're in the flesh, we're not fighting against the flesh. It's not about this body. Because one day you're going to die and this body is going to be eaten by skin worm. And what do you look like? You know, one day I was in a mall. I can't remember if I was in Japan or not. I can't remember. I was walking. And here was two Bengali men came coming towards me. Bengali, young men. You know, among the crowd, I was attracted because this one was red and the other one was green. So, you know, color was quite striking. Young men. And he passed me by, wow, what a man was subtle. His face was so streamlined, so very handsome. You know, and when he came near past me, I said, wow. And I guess he heard. Extremely handsome looking man. I've never seen a Bengali that handsome. You know. So, but I was thinking, okay, your person is handsome. Oh, beautiful woman in the world, Miss Universe, miss this, miss that, whatever you miss. But the thing is, when you die, no matter how handsome you are, how beautiful you are, when you die, you will look exactly like me. Right? A skull with two holes in the nose, that's it, it's the same. Not different. Only the size of the skull may be a bit smaller than that. That's it. Everybody looks the same. You know. So what is that? As the saying goes, beauty is kingdom. Huh? Ugly holds its own. Beauty fades with time. But ugly goes to the bone. Because no matter how ugly you are, you should be ugly when when you're young, you're ugly, all you're still ugly. But when you're beautiful, you're young, when you grow old, you'll be ugly. Ugly never change. Beauty will change. That's for sure. So what is the confidence? In the flesh? Don't. We don't have to impress people about our life. We just live the life. Christ never asked you to Make sure people know that you are a Christian. You cannot create yourself to be a Christian. You cannot make yourself to be a Christian. You are a Christian and you live the life just as it is. You see? You just live that life. That's all. That you don't have to tell a sheep to be a sheep. You know how to be a sheep. I was watching this documentary that was just recently produced. I think last year, I think. Planet Earth. This one was about the mountains. They have a series about Island Mountain and things like that. This one was about the mountain. And they were filming this goat. I can't remember which part of the world in the mountain. My goodness. This mountain goat can walk on the cliff. You cannot believe it. God has made them the hoof, paddle hoof, and they can actually grip. And you know when you can say, well, animal, come on, I take them, they will just walk on the cliff, literally. I says, wow. Short-footed, as a mountain goat. Very short-footed. Little one, they are filming the little one. Being chased by the fox. And they ran all this to the cliff. And one of them was caught just right in the little place. And he was sleeping and almost fall. He can grip. Now when he fell, he can jump and then land on his front foot. That, you know, like sort of a cushion. I said, my goodness, God created that. Then this mountain goat literally live on the mountain cliff. So that no other animal could go up there and get them. You see? So you don't have to tell them what to do. Even this little one that was born, the mother just go and they follow. How the mother walk, they follow. And they know. They were just born with an instinct to be like that. We are born again with an instinct? No. We want to use the word instinct? But the spiritual instinct was to be like Christ. To live that life. We don't have to manufacture, we don't have to act like a Christian. It's just natural to be a Christian, to live the life of a Christian. We don't have to tell the world, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian. Yeah. So that's, I remember, sometime when I see some foolishness in Pentecostal circle. Now at that time I knew one fella, he tried to prove to me that he can speak in tongue and he go around and I said, well, what? You're telling me that you have the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongue? He said, what, God is trying to tell you to do that, to tell the people that you have the Holy Ghost and you go whatever. What is this? That is not the real thing. You know, you don't advertise yourself with all this. It's a fake, actually. You know that. I mean, every gift that you already have it, it's not a show off. And suppose that when you speak in tongue, pray that you have the interpretation. Or I'll shut up. Or you just pray for yourself. But you know, Pentecostals, everybody try to outdo everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody is praying, wow, you're the guys over that side, who are so loud in speaking tongue. You also raise your voice louder. Oh. That's the same thing over it. You know, the African people are very natural when they come to worship God. When they stand up and sing, oh, not like the Kenyan. No, the Kenyan is not like that. Kenyan is very quiet, like the Baptist. They stay very still. But the Ugandan, huh? Oh, my. Or even like Nigerian. When they sing, that's just naturally that like the one does and they praise the Lord. You know what I mean? But it's natural. And that's how when I was there, when I see them, I was caught in the spirit, I would just go and dance with them. Dance with the Lord. Because you know, they just naturally enter into the hemisphere. But if they are Baptist, and remember those that are Baptist, just take the hymn book. Oh Lord my God. Everybody was humble faced. Nobody even clapped. But now at least they clap. Make a joyful noise. It should be natural. You want to say hallelujah, say it. You want to say praise the Lord, say it. Don't let somebody hinder you from the lap. You might say hallelujah, sister looking at you. Oh. Or the brother looking at what? Natural. And all you guys don't want to call me grandpa. You call grandpa. Nobody will. You will not look at him. You know, the mother or father to see whether he can call me grandpa or not, shall we? It should be a natural thing for instinct. Alright, so we don't have to impress, because you know, many times when we try to impress with all these, trying to say, I'm a Christian, I have the Holy Ghost, and you will allow, it's a vessel, empty vessel that make the most noise. And we know that to be true. And when you do that, it's a lot of, what do you call, it leads a lot to foolishness, a lot of false revelation. John chapter 7. A few more verses. John chapter 7 and verse 3 to 8. His brethren therefore said, now, okay, we read from verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked, y'all got it? John chapter 7, verse 3 to 8. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Jewry means that in the region of Judah. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciple also may see the works that thou have, that thou doest. For there is no man that do anything in secret, and he himself seek to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hate, because I testified of it, that the world thereof are evil. Go you up into this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. Alright. So the disciple now is telling him, and those in Judea gathered to him, say, why don't you go to Judea and show those other followers, you know, who you are? Because you don't, you know, who you are, you cannot hide in secret. You must tell them who you are. You know, they're trying, they're just going to show themselves and declare himself to be the Son of God. They say, no, my time is not yet come. But yours has come. Anytime you can go. And so the disciple went. But Jesus later on went. He didn't want to go into this region of Galilee and show them. But he goes in secret. He doesn't want to go openly. He goes in secret. So there is a time that, you know, that we, whoever we are, that Jesus can in this sense, when it was a time for him to declare himself. So he wouldn't do it. But yet he will keep the law of God. He will keep the word of God. Now, the same thing is that even for us Christians, there are times that we don't have to open our mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are times that we should. Now, even the same wise whole thing, interestingly, you know, in those days, in the communism in the early 20th century, after the World War, Russia was called the Iron Curtain, and China was called a bamboo curtain. Communism was such a big problem. So a lot of people in behind the Iron Curtain were being tortured for Christ. Richard Wurmbrand, you have read the whole book, you wouldn't know. And there were a lot of them, I mean, Christians working secretly to get the Bible across the border to them. And the interesting fact is this, some of them were so much faith. I remember this one man. I can't remember his name was Brother Andrew, they call him. Had to cross the border into Russia with his Volkswagen, Beetle, you know, those Beetle. He put a whole lot of Bible in the back of his car. You know, Bible is not supposed to be brought into Russia. They will be confiscated, be taken away. So he was driving in the night. So as he was approaching the Russian border, he said, Lord, I can do nothing. When you were on earth, you make the blind eye see. Now, make the seeing eye blind. Believe that. And he just drove calmly to the border. But God came and says, Do you have anything to declare? Do you have any Bible or anything you bring in? The man says, well, whatever I have is in the car. Oh, take the torch and shine and look into the car. Literally, but practically, he didn't see the Bible. They were all there in the car, at the back seat. Go. Seeing I went blind. You know what I'm saying? He don't even have to say, yes, I bring Bible, you know. So he just said, whatever I have is in the car. You look for yourself. That's it. You know. I was going to send the book, Genesis book, to Brother Pierre. Brother Pierre said, please, brother, don't send. Because, you know, any foreign books come into Lebanon, they are very strictly scrutinized. So I said, okay. He asked me to bring in when I go. Yeah, some countries are just so strict. You cannot bring him anything that disagree with them. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. It doesn't mean that you go out there and artificially show everything about yourself being a Christian. No. Remember, it's supposed to be a natural thing. You don't have to tell the world that you are a Christian. You don't have to manufacture it. It will come. The Bible says, let your light shine. The Bible did not say, make your light shine. Right? Let your light shine. Sheep bring for wool. Naturally, you don't have to tell them to make sheep or make wool. You don't have to tell the sheep make wool. No. Let your wool grow. It will grow. Let your light so shine before men, not make your light shine. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here we have a very common thing that is going on in Christian world, in denomination as well as what we have going on in end-time Nazi. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves the number, or compare ourselves with some that commended themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. 17 and 18. But he that glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. For not he that commended himself is approved, but whom the Lord commended by his vindication of his own word in your life. We don't compare ourselves with somebody else, you know. I'm better than him, and so on. What are you going to measure? If you want to measure yourself, measure by the word of God. That is a yardstick. This is a measuring rod. Measure it with it. Last verse, John 3. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So who do you want to lift up? You want to compare yourself and all this and lift yourself up? I'm better than that man, I'm better than that preacher. You know, there's a lot of brand-new preacher who's always condemning every other preacher. And he goes a vicious cycle. Look into the internet. That Dalton Bruce, literally he going hunt down every ministers, get his their books or get whatever they preach, and then went on and preach against them and write all sorts of things against them. And so much so that the brother, a Filipino minister in Manila, put on a website concerning him, how that he attacks certain people, even my name was all mentioned that. And then Donald Moore came around and then attacked him. There's no end to all this nonsense. Because everybody thinks they know what they are saying. And the problem is that they're based on not the word of God. That is not why some people say, I know Brother Abraham more. I know this so much. I was with him. I eat with him. I drink with him. I have the last communion with him. I wash his feet and all these things. Let us not boast about it. It means nothing. Because Paul never was with Jesus Christ. Right? But who did he lift up? He didn't lift up himself, he lifted up Christ. And there's no greater apostle than Paul himself. That's why he said, we know no more Christ in the flesh. Right? We no more know Jesus in the flesh, but we see Jesus. And that's by the revelation of the Word. And that's what we should be. So then let us have a religious air. You know, putting ourselves a religious air. Going one extreme on the side and going the other extreme on the other side. Whether you want to go to such an extreme of carrying yourself to a religious extreme, behaving like, oh, you know, fanatics. Or to the other extreme, we just couldn't care less. For us, we were told. And not just what the Bible said. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right, take the middle road. And that is so true. We were all given this ammunition. The prophet said that whatever I preach is not in the word, don't believe it. Simple as that. But today, no. So where has man gone? Do they know themselves? Do they know themselves? Know yourself. Know what you believe in. Know the scripture. Know the truth. Because the truth that sets you free. Nothing else. Prophet never set you free. That's right. You understand that? You see, even the word of Jesus Christ sometimes, if you don't know what he said, did not set you free. The Bible said the word set you free. Thy truth will set you free. People say, Jesus Christ set me free. But you know what? That's not true too. Because when Jesus Christ said, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. Did they set them free? Those people who heard it set them free? No. It's the word. And the Bible, Jesus himself said, you better take him what you hear and how you hear. Because the same thing with the prophet. In the Old Testament, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they know what the prophet said. But did they really know what the prophet said? We have the prophet, we have this. But when Jesus came and said, if you know them, you know me. Quoting the prophet, quoting Jesus Christ, means nothing. And now, until you know what you heard, until you know how you hear it. Remember this. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And how you hear and what you hear is important. Right? You need to know the word. That's the only thing. It's the word that sets you free. And the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and goodness to us. Keep us, Father, in our pathway, Lord, in thy word. The year is fast closing out now and 2017 approaching in the next few days. Would that be the year, Father, they will see the closing up of the Gentile age and your spirit turned to the Jew? Because there is a great expectancy, Lord, among the Jewish people looking for their Messiah. And so is there also a great expectancy, Lord, among people in the churches for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Father, keep us in thy word. Let your light, O Lord, lighten us, our life. That your light, Father, that is within us, will so shine forth before men. And most of all, Father, that we'll be obedient to thy word. Live that life that you have given us. The life of Jesus Christ that you have given us. So Father, bless this day, the rest of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.